You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And it's going to warm up, I believe, today. Maybe not as nice as yesterday, but hey, we're heading in the right direction. And if you hear my voice today, by the way, you are blessed. For today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. Today's guest is Mr. Christopher Mellett. Christopher, we have you back again. I'm so happy to have you back, man. It's been almost a year. It'll be a year in June, I believe, since we last talked.
Yeah, and I am excited and happy to be back.
Yeah, well, tell me what's been going on. The last time we talked about the violence reduction strategy.
Right.
Are you still with that organization?
Or I am not. You know,
I'm not surprised, Chris.
I am not. You know, I was taught to fight as hard as you can, as long as you can.
Right.
But also to know when it's time to, give whatever you have to God and move on. I actually am now, as of last week, I just became the new director of community outreach and relations, the head football coach and the athletic director at Chicago Hope Academy.
All right. So, you know, there was a nice article in the Chicago Sun-Times.
Yeah. And you know what? I was so shocked. You know, Mike O'Brien called and he said, is it true you're leaving Whitney Young and going to Chicago Hope? And I just, my first reaction was I didn't know anybody was paying attention. You know, it's just like, this is, you know, it is true. But, and it's tough, you know, and one of the things people don't understand, you know, with the coaching piece, and I've always been volunteering with the coaching, but an opportunity to kind of be in the building and see what we could do, especially at a place as special as Chicago Hope Academy.
Where is that located?
It's located on the west side of Chicago.
Okay.
And it's, in the Tri-Taylor neighborhood.
Okay.
You know, right on the edge of North Lawndale. But the school's 14 years old. Bob Muzikowski, Tina Muzikowski are the founders. You know, Bob was featured in Keanu Reeves starred as Bob in Hardball.
Right.
About a decade and a half ago.
What did he play in that role?
He was the Bob began a lot of his journey with Little League Baseball. Okay. So just the healing power of athletics across the board.
No doubt.
And that's the focus at Hope. It's a triangle, and it's spiritual development, academic development, and athletic development. You know, the whole person. You know, really kind of ministering to the whole young man, the whole young woman. It's a co-educational school, very diverse, African-American, Latino, Caucasian, and Asian.
What's the population?
About 260 kids.
Okay, so it's a very manageable size group, I guess, huh?
Well, you could say it's manageable, but you know, when you're dealing with young people, you know, it depends on who you are. One may not be manageable.
Isn't that the truth?
Some seven are manageable. And my wife and I, God bless her, we have four boys.
How's Kendall?
She's doing great. She is on her way, if not at Francis Xavier Ward School this morning, where she is the director of mission integration.
Oh, wow.
And helps out with the missions and development and high school placement as well. But and then she is carrying two of our guys in the van right now. I'm sure they're smiling and bouncing. You know, if they're listening, if they haven't gotten to school yet, good morning, Levi and Judah.
Right,
love you guys.
And the other two, what their names are?
So Luke is our eldest. Luke is a junior at Amherst College. He's 21 years old.
Okay,
and he is playing lacrosse and football. All-American lacrosse player. He's getting after it right now. They are ranked 2 in the country.
Wow.
So I actually watched him on the New England Sports Network from the couch. It's so nice with this internet stuff.
Oh, you man, know,
I argued against it as an old cranky man years ago, but I'm glad I'm learning. And then our second eldest, Zion, is at Chicago Masters Commission in Humboldt Park. Pastor Alfredo de Jesus at New Life Covenant Church. It's about 50 students from 37 states, and they do a 1 to 3 year program where they're embedded in the church, embedded in ministry. You know, 2 nights a week, he could be on the street ministering to prostitutes and gang members. 2 days a week or 2 nights a week, he could be out there with homeless folks. And 2 days a week, he gets up and goes to the orphanage that the church has and gets the kids ready for school and gets them on their way and prays with them. Amazing. If I had that type of an opportunity,
wow,
I would have never gone to Princeton. I would have never gone to law school.
Wow.
You know, I would have just, I mean, I would have been just completely taken aback by it, but it's amazing. But I think at the end of the day, what it does, and they do like 3 or 4 mission trips a year.
Right.
It's called Chicago Masters Commission.
Okay.
At the end of the year, what it does is it really, it's like kind of Teach for America for ministers, I say. But I mean, what, can you imagine whatever church you go into and you say, hey, we're thinking about this. Oh man, been there, done that. You know, feet on
yes,
the sidewalk.
Yes.
You know, my boots have been on the ground.
Yes.
You know, this is what to look for. This is what works. This is where I made mistakes. You know, and that's why I say, like, one of the things, like, with the violence reduction, I used to and still tell people, you know, I'm one of the best in the country. I really believe that. You know why? Because I've crashed a plane so many times. So I have over 100 black boxes I could dig into, Deacon John, and tell you, I know what you're thinking about here in Kansas City. We tried that in Chicago. This seems like this type of neighborhood. And Chicago is so big and so blessed that you can literally pull other cities and kind of I could figure out where that city kind of fits in Chicago. So if I'm there, I could see, you know, there's something to learn from everybody. So if I'm in Providence, Rhode Island, like I say, you know what? This is a lot like the 22nd District or the 20th District or the 18th District. You know, if I'm in Boston, Massachusetts, I can say, you know what? This is a lot like the 8th District with the racial diversity and the segregation, like how this thing kind of runs. This is 8. And then be able to bring those things back to the city and just kind of, you know, and just, I mean, at the end of the day, the goal is to win, right?
Yeah.
And how much more important are lives than a scoreboard? Now, don't get me wrong. Scoreboard's important, right? It wouldn't keep score if it didn't matter. And the world will judge us on that score. But there's a more important judge. And obviously, I jest. But that's really why I'm excited to really be diving back in and having that role at Chicago Hope in the athletic field as well as the AD and as the head football coach. So we could really utilize sports to really leverage our relationship and really point our kids to Christ. You know, I think that's one thing we're really lacking. You see all these kids floating around, you know, Chicago Avenue, right around the corner.
Yeah,
this
these
past
last
weekend.
Couple of days, yeah.
And they used to call it, in our day, right? In our day.
Right,
I'm
right, right.
Old, I'm almost 50. In our day, they used to call it a wilding.
Yeah, right.
I remember that. They called it wilding.
Well, that seems like yesterday to
and,
me.
And I'm, but yeah. I'm telling you, but my question would be of the 500, 100, how many, whatever large number of young people were floating around downtown, how many of those young people are being pointed to Christ? And when we engage them, are we intentionally, consciously thinking about pointing them to Christ? Not opening the Bible and what, but just how do I engage you? With what type of dignity? With what type of action?
Hmm.
You know, do I laugh if you're funny and then tell you that's funny, John, but that's wrong? You can't do, you know, there's a sense of humanity that I think we sometimes lose. But I really think at the end of the day, the most important thing is, are we pointing our kids to Christ?
Yeah, and certainly that is the missing piece, I like to think, Chris. We're going to pause for a moment and join you in just a few minutes after this break.
Really? Rich Daniels is the director of the City Lights Orchestra and president of the Archdiocese of Chicago's Immigration Ministry Advisory Board.
It's about a safe background for the people who live here. It's about safe haven for those who want to come. And it's about a legal path that has sensible limits to it, that doesn't take $30,000 in legal fees to acquire. It doesn't take 16 years or 12 years to get yourself into that position. It really lacks any compassion and love for those people who really want to be a part of this country.
The Immigration Ministry promotes a society where immigrants are welcomed and where their cultural gifts are celebrated.
My goodness, this country would not be where we are today were it not for the immigrants from Ireland, from Poland, from Italy, from name it. It's just an amazing array of individuals who've come to our shores seeking a better life for themselves and their family.
Please support the Immigration Ministry by attending the Keep Hope Alive benefit Monday evening, May 13th, hosted by Cardinal Blaise Supich. For more information, call 312-534-8383. That's 312-534-8383.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Hi, my name is Sajit Silva, and I work for Catholic Relief Services in Sri Lanka. During this Lent, respond to Pope Francis' invitation to share the journey and stand alongside those bearing the crosses of hunger and poverty by giving to CRS Rice Bowl. 25% of all funds raised in the Diocese of Chicago through CRS Rice Bowl stay in the Archdiocese of Chicago to help people in this community, with the remaining funds serving our brothers and sisters in countries around the world. Visit archchicago.org/CRS to learn more about the people and communities you support through your Lenten gift to CRS Rice Bowl.
This is Deacon John. You're listening to Catholic Chicago on 750 AM. Our guest this morning is Mr. Christopher Millette. And Chris, we were just talking about, Hope High School and the difference with Hope High School. So it's not Catholic. It's not public. It's non-denominational.
Yes.
Is it public or Catholic, though? What league is it in or you play
in? Hope is, I believe, the last non-denominational Christian school, the last non-Catholic Christian school in the city of Chicago, high school.
So all their games are like non-conference?
This year they are. The last 2 years, they played and were quite successful in the Chicago Catholic League.
Yeah, I've heard of them, but I didn't know where to place them.
So Coach Matt Kelly led the team. I think he was 33-11 in the last 3 years or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's averaging 8 wins a game. He actually resigned to go back. I mean, the way the doors opened and just kind of how God led me on the path to Hope is a story and a show on its own. But but Coach Kelly resigned and he went back to his alma mater, Brother Rice, to work in the building in an administrative post and I believe coach there as well. But he had a great opportunity to go back to, and you know, anytime you're a coach and you have a chance to go to your alma mater,
I agree.
You know, it's a little bit nervous. It makes you nervous. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of guys would be nervous because of the pressure, but also the excitement, you know, that you could coach where you played. So we're thrilled for him and his family. But he left me in great shape. I mean, he really turned the team into a program. And now the challenge is, you know, almost more daunting than going 0-9 to 9-0, which we did at Whitney Young, you know, but really, you know, taking over a program that's been successful and has been downstate the last couple of years in state playoff rounds. And really kind of taking them to the next level. But we were in the Chicago Catholic League. They won the Chicago Red Conference. It's Leo DePaul College Prep. Hales Franciscan used to be in there, but right. Now St. Francis of Wheaton, I think, was in. But anyhow, they won the Chicago Red the last 2 years, back-to-back Red Conference champs, and went to the state playoffs and lost in the second round to the eventual Gibson City, the eventual state champions.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got some... They got some dudes.
Okay, so you're in good shape in terms of returning football players.
I hope so, yeah. You know.
You didn't lose all of them, right?
We did not. We did lose a great group of seniors,
yeah.
You know, which were instrumental in the development of the program.
That doesn't matter with you, though, Chris. You went to Whitney Young, and you had guys who never played football before, and you went 9-0.
Yeah, we had 32 of our 45 guys that never put pads on before. We had the most diverse team in the state. You know, most diverse staff in the state. Mm-hmm. Age-wise, our coaches spanned from 25 to 75. At one point, the principal, Dr. Joyce Karen, tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Hey, coach, I'm not telling you how to, you know, do your thing, but, you know, these guys are, they're kind of up there." And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Doc." I joked, Dr. Kenner. I said, "I'm so sorry, Doc." I said, "You thought these guys are here for the kids?" I said, "These guys are here for me." You know, I said, "They're here for me." But like I said, I'm so grateful for the time I had at Whitney Young.
I was wondering how it was going to go for you. I can't believe you went 9-0.
Oh, yeah. That's the power of God, Deacon. I mean, it's the power of God. I mean, we started off, and we were very intentional about it. You know, I went in there. You know, we had about a dozen coaches on our staff, and you know, only two got paid this year, so you got guys working for free, away from their families, vacations, all that type of stuff, because football falls in the summer, you know, so if you don't vacation in early June, as soon as school lets out, you're out of luck, pretty much. But no, we got after it. You know, we started off, you know, first team, coaches meeting, we were in that locker room praying over the lockers, you know, and then from there, we prayed about the kids and prayed for the kids, and you know, we didn't proselytize. You know, we understand public school and whatnot.
Exactly.
But still, I mean, we had our prayer list, and we knew what was going on with kids, and we know the things that we can control, the things we can't control, and the things that only he can control. But more importantly, Billy Graham said, "A football coach will touch more lives in one season than most people will in an entire lifetime."
Isn't that the truth?
And when you think about it, you got 50, 60 kids on your team. You got all their little siblings and their parents. You got the administration. You got the alumni. You got the boosters. You got the cheerleading squad, the band, and all the people that are also connected to the football program, if you're really kind of cranking it out the right way, and good old American values, I think. You have the businesses in the community. And then you have all the people that all those people will impact. You know, so I looked at it from the standpoint, and I continue to look at it from the standpoint of, I'm not coaching 50 kids. I'm not coaching 50 players. We are literally coaching 50 eternities. So what is the power of influence that you're doing with that, and what are you doing on a day-to-day basis? Again, how intentional are you about pointing young people to Jesus Christ? Not perfect, you know, because we're not going to be perfect, you know, but we can be a little more intentional than I think we are.
And I appreciate you saying that. I'm sure a lot of listeners who are listening in, you know, could hear that as well. I don't think there's a lot of intention out there. You know, you see all these kids, like you mentioned earlier, that, you know, just came to downtown and they just seemed to be out of control. You know, obviously it wasn't anyone in their midst that was, you know, pointing them towards Christ. And
Yeah. And not just Christ. Christ obviously is the rock and the most important thing we can send our kids. More important than any college is that they know Christ. But I will say this. For me, it really boils down to transformational versus transactional relationships. And people say all the things about, well, they got services, well, the parents, well. And yeah, you're right. But you're also not altogether right. You know, I won't say you're wrong, but are there parents there? Yeah, but what if a parent's working two jobs to try to keep the kid in a house?
Right.
You know, what if there's, you know, there's a lot of, you don't know until you walk in someone's shoes. I think that our largest challenge is we can't allow the streets to out-recruit us. We've been losing, if you think about it like a coaching world, we've been losing to the streets. You know, Street University has been beating us for years. Yeah. And the reason is because they're out-recruiting us. And how are you out-recruiting us? One of the things I've been looking at working with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is three-dimensional coaching and transformational coaching. And really, what does that mean? It means this in a nutshell. Everything you were used to is transactional. When I was in high school, I love my high school coaches. I do. Anthony Sorrenti, I still tell you off the top of my head. And his son actually coaches at Northern Illinois. I ran into him at a coaching clinic. And I saw the name. I'm like, Anthony Sorrentino. And I go over and I say, hey, he's, you know, the last time we embraced, took a picture, sent it to his dad. Last time I saw this guy, Coach Sorrentino was 8, 9 years old on the sideline, handed me a towel in 1988, I think it was, on the sideline of a high school football game in a water bottle. But what I will say is, transactional relationships. If John does this for Chris, if you play hard for me, John, I'm going to get you into college. As opposed to, just play hard, John. Like, if you quit, John, I still got you, John. Don't ever lose my number, John. Mm. This relationship ends when you decide that it ends, John. Mm. And understanding that sports, football, whatever, is just something that God gives us to brings us together. But ultimately, it's just brought us together. Because every season, every team has a one-year life expectancy. You know, it's like the baby new year and father time. You know, the team is born at the last second of the last game. That team died. And then the next year's team is born. You know, so the team of 2018 Hope team is dead. The 2019 team at Hope is an infant.
And I tell you, that's a coach's mentality, a Chris Millett's coaching mentality. And, Chris, we're going to pause once more and join you in a minute, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Good.
Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Fuselier from Dumb Ox Ministries, and we're excited to introduce our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp, held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II, and we dive into questions like, who am I? What's the meaning of my life? What's all of this stuff about relationships and discernment? How do I pray? And many other questions just like it. Teens and young adults join us June 14th through the 20th at St. Xavier's University for an amazing Echo experience. More information can be found at respectlifechicago.org, or you can give us a call at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot 3 times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about worldwide protocols put in place by the Holy See following the historic meeting in Rome on the protection of children. And we'll give you a behind-the-scenes look at the televised Sunday Mass from Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
This is Deacon John. We're back with the Black Catholic Initiative, having a wonderful conversation with Mr. Chris Millett. And Chris, we've talked so much, and time seems to be flying so quickly. This is our last segment for the radio show this morning.
All right.
You have given us a lot of information regarding Hope, and we talked just briefly in commercial break about what Bob did with Hope and his vision for that after working with the Little League. So now what is he doing? He's got this school started, and is he still around?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bob is the CEO of the school.
Okay.
Walter Johnson is our president. Tina Muzikowski.
Walter Johnson, who is – that name sounds familiar.
Walter Johnson, I guess he's Walter Johnson.
Right. But he sounds familiar. Did he play sports at all himself?
He did play sports.
Basketball?
I believe he was a football player. I think he was a running back.
Okay. I'm thinking of maybe a different guy.
No. I think he went to Richards High School.
Okay.
But and played for Coach Corhernan, I think, Gary Corhernan. But Walter, he was an athletic director at Naperville Central.
Okay.
And he was in admissions, but most of his career has been in the collegiate realm.
Oh, all right.
You know, so and Bob was on Wall Street, you know, making millions a year.
Oh, wow.
And these are two men, and Bob's wife Tina as well. She was a famous golfer, college golfer. But they walked away from that to pursue this, and the dream and of Hope Academy, Chicago Hope Academy, and just really dig in, you know, just embed yourself in the community and see what you can do. And, you know, like I said, you know, fight as hard as you can, as long as you can, and do it together, you know. So I'm just very blessed and privileged and excited to, you know, I'm not the kooky Christian anymore. you know, we're all insanely and passionately in love for Christ together. And I think that makes a difference at the end of the day, because you're going to have challenges, you're going to have setbacks. But at the end of the day, you know, like I said, you know, if you can't point kids to Christ if you're not pointed at Christ yourself, you know, so that common reflection and just remembering at all times why we do what we do and who we're doing it for at the end of the day.
Yeah. And don't you have to start your day off that way, you know, with that kind of direction?
Yeah, I mean, for me, absolutely.
Well, I know you start your day off with prayer.
Well, look, the last if I wouldn't have survived the last 10 years or so, 15 years or so with the violence reduction strategy. Because one of the things that I'm grateful for was what I saw, because, it, you know, being able to work with law enforcement, work with community members, work with pastors and priests, work with the community itself, and then also work with gang members, you see the worst that mankind has to offer on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of that, you also see the best that mankind has to offer on a daily basis. And it's almost like you can see God every day, you know, you can also see some of the challenges, you know, and how important it is to really have a heart for God and to follow God. Because at any point in time, and you look, I mean, they don't publicize it as much as they used to, but there's still a lot of publicity on violence in Chicago. But the thing that's really kind of, you know, doesn't capture the headlines is the violence that occurs in all neighborhoods, in Lincoln Park, on the Gold Coast, on the expressway, on Lakeshore Drive, you know, and it's a signal, I think, to us that we really need to, you know, dig deep and find out what is at the root of this thing. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with our segregated history. You know, this is what I tell people. You cannot talk about Chicago's problems and address Chicago's problems without addressing race. And I say, here's the difference. I think there's a discussion on race that's warranted, not a dwelling on race. You can't dwell on it. You have to keep moving forward. You know, you got to, the words of a famous coach, you got to move the chains. You know, you got to move the chains. You won't always get a first down. You won't always score a touchdown. Sometimes you just need to punt. But in an effort to move the chains, you have to discuss it. You have to. I think part of our challenge is we don't look at people's hearts. God tells us why did he choose David? He looked at his heart.
A man after his own heart.
Yes. And he looked beyond the exterior, looked at the interior. He saw his heart, and he said, this is my guy. Mm. Why did he choose Abraham? He calls Abraham his friend, you know, his heart. He's looking beyond the exterior on things. And I think sometimes we're so quick to be so frightened by the exterior. You know, I had a good friend say this to me, a pastor that I met at St. Sabina 25 years ago, maybe, John Swain Jr. Mm-hmm. And John's, he was pastoring in Vancouver recently. But John said this to me about 2 weeks ago. He said, church is not the trophy for the winners. It's the place for the sinners. And I thought long and hard about that. How often do we think, like, this is our trophy? We dress up, we go in, we're all winners because we're all in Christ. But how often are we doing outreach to the sinners, you know, which we ourselves are, you know, no man except Christ, you know. But how do we do that, and what does that look like? And again, back to that word, how are we being intentional about it?
Yes, and obviously you're very intentional, Chris, and I'm just so thankful that you came in again this morning and filled up our show.
Hey, I'm thankful to be here.
And we're less than a minute away from ending the show. I just can't believe it. I've sat here and I've just listened to you just preach, and I love it. And I see your socks are still trying to get it together, right?
Yeah, you know, they'll be getting it together for a while.
Tim Anderson's playing well this year. Yeah.
And that's a plus.
Yeah. Well, the Cubs, I don't know what they're going to do. They're about 500 right now.
Yeah.
You can't tell. Pitching is everything in baseball. And we'll see how both teams shake out. Maybe if you get some tickets, you call me. If I get some tickets, I call you.
That's a bet. That's
Sox-Cub
a deal.
Game, right?
That's a deal.
Well, thanks for coming on again,
Thank
man.
Thank you so you much
for having
me.
Kiss your wife, Kendall, and tell her hello.
I
and
will.
Also, just an excellent story on the update of your kids. They're doing so well, man.
Yeah,
I'm happy to hear
so
that.
We're so proud.
All right, well, we're proud of you. And you
Thank
keep
you.
Doing what you're doing at Hope.
I will.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
What does it mean